make you sin against me. If you serve their gods, it will be a snare to you. The word of the Lord.
Be to God. Amen. Thanks, Ann. Thanks, worship team. Appreciate y'all. If we haven't had a chance to meet yet, my name is David. I'm one of the leaders here at West Charlotte Church at Freedom, along with Ann and Brian. We are going to get into the book of Exodus, continuing our study in the book of Exodus. But first, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your goodness, your kindness, your mercy. Thank you that you are awesome and that you are our deliverer, provider, and healer. And Father, we lift up the needs of our congregation today, congregation as a whole, Lord, to pray that you would provide us all that we need so that we can be the people that you have us to be for our West Charlotte community. Father, I pray that you would give us a greater heart for the hurting around us, a greater passion to see the men, women, and children of our neighborhoods come to know Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you would give us, your people, a greater hunger for you. And Father, I pray that you would enable us to love you more, to follow you more. And right now, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would be in our midst and help us to feel your presence today. Father, help us to know that you are here. And I pray that this would be just a thin place between heaven and earth, that we would sense your glory and that you would speak to us. Holy Spirit, would you illuminate our minds and our hearts to hear from you? Thank you so much for your kindness. That's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, before we open up into our story, let me reflect on the fact that there is a lot of talk, appropriately so these days, about the nature of relationships, and particularly what constitutes a healthy relationship and maybe what sets it apart from an unhealthy or toxic relationship. Now, books have been written on the subject and a lot of things I could say about it, but I can say one thing simply. One of the things that defines a healthy relationship is that you've got two individuals who are putting the same amount of effort into the relationship. You got two individuals who are putting the same amount of sacrifice into the relationship. Both individuals are roughly giving the same thing as they're taking. Of course, setting that apart would be a toxic relationship where one individual is giving a lot more, sacrificing a lot more, and the other individual is taking, taking, taking. That would be a dysfunctional relationship. And for many of us, we can look back at time and remember particularly dysfunctional relationships that we've been a part of. Maybe it's friendships or maybe it's romantic relationships. But we're all looking for, in our lives, healthy relationships to be a part of. But here's a question for you today. It's one thing to think about healthy kind of horizontal relationships with other people, but let me ask you this. How healthy is your relationship with the Lord today? How healthy is your relationship with the Lord? Now, let me be clear. Unlike our kind of peer human relationships, we're not peers with God, right? And so, for example, in a healthy peer relationship, we would hope and expect in most situations that both individuals are giving the same amount. But here's the fact is you can't outgive God. Right? You're not God's peer. You could never give more than God could give. God's always going to outgive you. But it still bears question for you to answer, how much are you putting effort into your relationship with the Lord? Or is it simply a matter of you sitting there expecting to get from the Lord? And the Lord is up there as a heavenly Father, asking a similar question that an earthly father might ask of his child. Are you willing to follow me as well? I'm giving, I'm providing for you, I'm caring for you, I'm loving you, I'm doing all these things for you, but there comes a time when an earthly father asks a child, I need you to obey me and I need you to honor me. That constitutes a healthy relationship between a father and a child. Question again for you, as you think, as you reflect upon your life, how healthy is your relationship with the Lord? If you're a Christian, you know that you've been receiving blessings from the Lord. But how much effort are you putting into the relationship? It reminds me a little bit of a story in the Bible, in the book of Job. Some of you know the story of the book of Job. Job is a man who loves the Lord and he is blessed. He's one of these guys that everyone around him looks at him and says, man, Job has made it. He is blessed. He's got lots of family. He's got lots of wealth. He's got lots of land. Back in the day, wealth was tied to livestock. So he had lots of livestock. He had lots of servants. He was the man. But if you know the story of Job, Job goes from having everything to having nothing. And out of nowhere, suffering starts coming at him in waves, tidal waves of suffering for Job. Naturally, Job struggles to deal with that well, and his wife does too. And there's this one potent moment in Job chapter 2 after he suffered all of this unexpected suffering, and his wife says to Job, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" Job's response to his wife is instructive, and in some ways it's going to form the challenge for us today. Job says to his wife, can we accept good from the Lord and not also trouble? The same Lord who has blessed Job is now bringing suffering. Can we accept good from God and not trouble? Well, I want to reframe that a little bit for us today. And here's my question for us. Can we accept blessings from God without challenges? Can we accept blessings and not responsibility? Can we accept the good from God and not the hard? The answer, family, is no, we can't. We have, as Christians, we have extra blessings. Praise God. We have extra blessings. And we're going to get into that, and I would encourage you throughout the service to try to kind of drum up in your mind the particular blessings that you have experienced from God. We have extra blessings as Christians. But family, we also have, and this is a part we can't ignore, we have extra responsibility too. We have extra responsibility too. That's what we're going to see in the book of Exodus. In Exodus chapter 3, as the Israelites are beginning their wilderness journey to the promised land, God is, he's forming them into a new nation. All right? The wilderness journey for the Israelites, it's a rebirth of sorts. Out with the old, in with the new. God is forming them new and explaining what it is to be the people of God. And by the way, that's one of the reasons why it's so helpful for us to listen and learn from the wilderness journey of the Israelites, because it reminds us what our relationship with God is all about. And so, he does in this passage, one main thought comes to mind, right? What you see on the screen, we can't accept the good without the hard. God promises Israel, and he promises us today, extra blessings, but he also gives us extra responsibility, extra challenges. All right, so as we get into the text, we're going to see both the good and the hard. But before we do that, before we kind of look at the blessings and the responsibilities, what I want to do is ask one important question. And this is a question that you may have had if you were listening carefully to Ann reading today. And here's the question. The text references an angel of God, but who is that angel of God in this passage? Verse 20 says, "I'm going to send an angel before you to protect you on the way and bring you to the place I've prepared. Be attentive to him and listen to him. Do not defy him, because he will not forgive your acts of rebellion, for my name is in him." Okay, so bear with me for a second, because I'm going to get a little bit deep into the weeds of this passage and a little bit deep into the weeds of some theology, and then we'll kind of come back up. So the question is, who is this angel in the passage? And there's lots of theories. Lots of scholars who are super smart study this. Lots of theories. The name itself for angel simply means messenger. So the picture of the angel that you might have in your head of the wings and the white robe, that's not necessarily what this name means in the scripture. It just means messenger. All right. Now, there's different ideas of what this could mean in this context. One idea is that same normal kind of angel that you think of. Other scholars have said, no, this is actually referring to the pillar of cloud and fire that goes before the Israelites. That's what some people think. Other people think that this could be Moses or Joshua, who's leading the people, right? Here's one thing we know for sure. This angel brings blessing to the people. The angel is closely associated with God, and yet the angel is somehow distinct from God. So here's what I think, in line with other scholars who've studied this passage. I believe, with many modern scholars, that this angel is actually Jesus Christ.
Or the theological language for this, it would be the pre-incarnate Christ. So if you want to kind of impress somebody with your theological knowledge, you can talk about the pre-incarnate Christ. All right. Now, real quickly, let's get into the theology of the incarnation for just a minute, because I think you probably know this if you think about it, but a lot of us don't think about it. So let's just say this: many of us, probably all of us, know the story of Jesus being born in a manger, right? And we celebrate it every Christmas time. So if you've ever been to church on Christmas, you've heard about the baby in the manger, right? Silent night, holy night, all those things, right? It's really important that we remember, though, that manger birth, we call it the incarnation, that's not when Jesus started to exist. Jesus, as the second person of the Trinity, has always existed with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit from the beginning of creation. From the beginning of time, he always has been. When God says, I am, meaning he never was not, he always has been, that's true of God the Father, and it's true of God the Son, and it's true of God the Holy Spirit. He became a human in the manger, second person of the Trinity, Jesus, but he was God before that. Now, even in the Old Testament, before the time of the manger, before the incarnation, in the Old Testament, we see clues and foreshadowings of Jesus Christ, right? Or the pre-incarnate Christ. Here, for example, in this passage, I want you to think about this. Just in one verse, verse 21, listen, be attentive to him and listen to him, God says. Do not defy him, because he will not forgive your acts of rebellion, for my name is in him. So you see, from this one passage alone, we see that he is more than your typical angel. He's something closer to God himself. This angel has the power to forgive sin, which is something that only God can do. And God's name is in the angel, which in ancient times, in Hebrews and others, the name meant more than it does now, right? You give your child a name if you've got a child, and maybe it's a family name, or maybe it's just a name you really love. But back in the day, in ancient times, a name had to do with character. It meant this: the essence of a person is in this name. So the angel bears the name of God, and this is key, it's the relationship of God's people to the angel that determines whether they experience blessings or whether they experience curses. For all of these reasons, we see that the angel referenced in this passage is Jesus Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ. Okay, so I told you we're going to go deep for a second. Now let's continue on with the passage, the main point of the passage. We've said this before. The main point of this passage is for us to see that Christians have extra blessings and extra responsibility. You can't accept the blessings without responsibility. We can't accept the good without the hard. But let's take a moment now and remind ourselves of the good. Remind ourselves of the blessings that we have as Christians. In this passage alone, and by the way, there are more blessings that we receive that are just contained in this passage. But in this one passage, we see kind of how loaded the blessings are, because our God is a generous God. He doesn't give out just a few dimes, a few quarters here. He flows the cash out to his people. He flows the blessings out. He pours them out. We see in verse 20, God will protect you. I'm going to send an angel before you to protect you on the way as he brings you to the place that I have prepared. Verse 22, we see that God will fight for you. But if you will carefully obey him in everything he does, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and a foe to your foes. And then he talks about all of the Canaanites, and he says, I will wipe them out. And then, in verse 27, he says, I will cause the people ahead of you to feel terror. I will make all of your enemies turn their backs in retreat. And I will send hornets in front of you. It's probably metaphorical. He's just saying that his spirit will go before them, driving out the people. These are the blessings. God will protect you. God will fight for you. God will guide you. But if you carefully obey him, the angel, and do everything I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and a foe to your foes. For my angel will go before you, and he will bring you, or might say guide you, into the land. Verse 25, God will bless you with health. Serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water. I will remove illness from you. No woman will miscarry or be childless in your land. I will give you the full number of days. God will protect you. He will fight for you. He will guide you. He'll give you health, and he will give you peace. Verse 31, and I will set your borders from the sea to the Mediterranean, Red Sea to the Mediterranean Sea. In ancient times, the borders signified where there was settled land. There wasn't war. This is agreed upon territory. The people would have peace. People would have peace. Okay, so let's talk a little bit. That's what God promised the ancient Israelites. What does that have to do with us today? What kind of applications can we make for us today? Well, let me say this. And by the way, I went on a theological rabbit trail that related. Here's a geopolitical rabbit trail. So bear with me for a second because I think I need to say this. This message, here's one application. This message is about ancient Israel and not modern Israel. Okay? We don't talk about this a lot, and I think many of us know that there's a difference between the Israel of the Bible and the Israel that exists today that's at war in Gaza. There's a difference between the biblical Israel living as a theocracy and the modern state of Israel, especially given what's happening right now in Gaza and the numerous allegations of Israel committing war crimes against the Palestinians, and considering this passage talks about driving out Israel's enemies, I don't want us to get this twisted, all right? Because some Christians use the Bible wrongly to justify immoral actions, including immoral actions that modern Israel is doing right now in Gaza, and that's not a proper application of Scripture. Okay? So what this doesn't do is say anything about what's happening right now in the Middle East. Okay? We're talking about two different things. Now, look, geopolitics are incredibly complicated, and I'm not anti-Israel, and I'm not anti-Jewish. I'm not saying that. I'm simply saying that we as Christians need to be careful that we don't twist Scripture talking about God's ancient people and use it to justify some of the wicked things that the modern state of Israel is doing today. If you have any questions about that, please come and talk to me afterwards, all right? All right, so what are we talking about here? We're talking about the good blessings that the Lord gives us, and we're talking about what are the applications for us today. Now I want to get into the look at this list that you see on the screen here. God will protect you, fight for you, guide you, give you health, give you peace. This is true for us today. These blessings, these promises are true for us today, although it often looks different. It often looks different. Okay. For example, God will protect you and God will fight for you. All right. Now, we're not fighting against the ancient Canaanites, right? But we have a fight nonetheless. Amen? The Bible talks about the spiritual battle that God's people fight every day against the enemy, against the flesh, which is our sinful nature, and against the world around us. We have a spiritual enemy, Satan, who loves to tear us down, discourage us, and tempt us. If that wasn't bad enough, we've got a sinful nature that God calls us to die to every day. God tells us to put to death the sinful nature inside of us. That means that you can't do what the world tells you to do and just follow your heart. The message of the world, right? Follow your heart. Do what feels right. Well, the problem is, the reason you can't follow your heart is sometimes your heart is sinful. And sometimes what feels right is sinful. It's against God. And also, in addition to the enemy and our sinful nature, we live in a fallen world full of wickedness and injustice. Family, we don't fight against the ancient Canaanites, but you better believe we still fight. Every hour of every day. But here's the key truth. So important. In this battle, you're not fighting alone. You aren't fighting the battle against sin and addiction alone. The Lord is with you. He is fighting with you. You aren't fighting the battle against anxiety and depression alone. The Lord is fighting with you. You aren't fighting the battle against injustice alone. The Lord is fighting with you. Family. Be encouraged. The Lord has promised to fight with you. He will protect you and fight with you, but he will also guide you, right? Not only will God protect you, but he will guide you. Y'all, life is hard sometimes, right? And one of the reasons this can be so hard is that it can be confusing. What should I do with my life? Right? What should I do with my job? Should I stay or should I go? What about this relationship? What about my dreams for the future? What about my house? What about, the list goes on. Now, sometimes we need a protector to fight for us, but sometimes we need a counselor to guide us. Now, here's the good news. Because of what Jesus has done, God has sent the Holy Spirit, if you are trusting in him, and he is your counselor. When Jesus died and rose again and ascended to heaven, he gave his people the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit guides you, giving you wisdom, speaking to you, helping you make wise decisions. This is good news. This is a part of the extra blessings that God gives us. He will bless your health and peace. Now, here's another point where we need to be careful application of Scripture saying, because people have used verses like this to twist Scripture's meaning. Right? God promised ancient Israel health and peace if they followed God's command. But even then, it was a temporary relative peace. What God is saying is, compared to how you would live outside of my will and outside of my protection, comparatively, you will be blessed with health and prosperity. They would enjoy extra blessings of health and long life that they would not have experienced otherwise, and that's significant. But they would still eventually die. They would still eventually suffer in some way, even if they obeyed God. And here's why this is important. Because some folks twist Scripture like this to say, if you get sick and God doesn't heal you, you don't have enough faith. And family, that is not true. It's not true. Does God bless you when you follow him? Yes, of course. But that blessing often isn't a physical blessing, but a spiritual blessing. He can make you whole in your body. Excuse me. He can make you whole in your spirit even as your body is ill. He can bless you inwardly even as your body is decaying. Does God still promise blessings of health and peace to his people? Yes, he can bless you in all of these ways and more. And yet primarily what he promises us in the new covenant is the possibility of an inward blessing even in the midst of external problems. Here's a final thought. One of the great things about heaven that we get to look forward to, that we must look forward to, is that in heaven we will see the coming together of the internal spiritual blessings and the external blessings that we get to experience together. In this life, sometimes we rejoice because God is renewing our spirit even when our world is crumbling around us. But in heaven, we get to experience the blessings of a renewed spirit of peace, of joy, of love, of kindness, of fullness of spirit while we are in the midst of paradise with God. Man, what a wonderful thought. Some of us need to cling to that more, that hope and that promise. Okay, so let's review. What are we saying? God gives his children extra blessings. We've seen that for Israel, and we've made it for application for us today. And so we say again, as we said at the beginning, the main point of our sermon today, the main point of this passage, Christians have extra blessings and extra responsibilities. We can't accept the blessings without responsibility. We can't accept the good without the hard. And so, as we close out this sermon, let's turn to look at the hard, at the extra responsibility. And what I want to do now is to see what God says about the responsibility he gives his children, and then we'll give a closing encouragement. All right? What responsibilities does God give his children? Well, look at Exodus 23, verse 20. Be attentive to the angel and listen to him. Do not defy him, because he will not forgive your acts of rebellion, for my name is in him. Carefully obey him and do everything I say. Do not bow in worship to the Canaanite gods and do not serve them. Do not imitate their practices. Serve the Lord your God. You must not make a covenant with them or their gods. All right. So in the midst of so many blessings that God gives to his people, he also gives them big responsibilities. For example, listen to God's word and obey. This is one of the extra responsibilities that Israel had. Listen to God's word and obey. Be attentive to the angel and listen to him. Carefully obey him. Now, this is such a simple thing, right? It almost seems too simple. Listen and obey. We were taught this as children. But just like other lessons that you learn in childhood, this lesson is so fundamental. Listen and obey. How many problems would we avoid if we just listened and obeyed what our Heavenly Father tells us? This is our responsibility, to listen and obey the word of the Lord, even if and especially if you don't love what God is telling you. You read scripture about being pure and holy and avoiding sin and temptation. Well, but that's hard. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's not easy. But we can't accept the blessings and not the responsibilities. We can't accept the good without the hard. It's hard to listen and obey. It's a battle every day in how we think, speak, and act. It's a battle, but it's a battle we must fight, family. Listen to God's word and obey. But when we see another extra responsibility in this passage, and that is in verse 24, do not bow down and worship to the Canaanite gods and do not serve them. But instead, verse 25, serve the Lord your God. We've talked about this before, but the Israelites, when they were living in Egypt, they lived with people of Egypt who had hundreds, if not thousands, of false gods, of idols that they served. We do too. We've talked about this. They look different. They look different for sure. They look different, but they still exist. For example, idols of comfort, materialism, pride, racism, selfishness, idols of lust, power, money, pleasure, and the list goes on. And just like the ancient gods, those idols have servants in this world doing their bidding, right? Idols of materialism, consumerism, or money, right? Well, these idols have servants of marketing, ads that promise you that you'll feel better if you just have this, if you just buy this. These idols have servants of convenience, right? With three taps on my phone, I can buy pretty much anything I want on Amazon, right? And that's not necessarily bad, but I have to be careful that I don't begin to serve the idols of consumerism, believing that my life would be better if I only had the right fill in the blank, or if I only had a new fill in the blank. Idols of consumerism. Or what about idols of racial superiority? Well, they have plenty of servants of politics and news media and podcasts. Idols of lust. Hundreds of thousands of servants on the internet enticing you through pornography and illicit material. What's our responsibility with these idols? What's the hard thing we must accept? Resist the idols daily. Resist temptation daily. Now, sometimes it's not just daily, it's moment by moment. Put to death the sin in your life daily. Just like the Israelites, our job is to resist the idols and serve the Lord alone. That and listen to and obey God, these family are our responsibilities. Our responsibilities, listen to and obey God, resist the idols, and serve God alone. Okay, one more time. Main point here. Christians have extra blessings and extra responsibilities. I've been saying it so long, I'm going to get you to help me with this. We can't accept the what? Blessings without the what? Responsibility. We can't accept the good without the hard. That's right. We have extra blessings, extra responsibility. Before I close out, let me just give you a quick encouragement today. It's something I said earlier, but I want to say it again because it's so important. Serving the Lord is a battle, but it isn't a battle you're fighting alone. Right? As you fight the good fight, remember that you're not alone. All right, look at what Exodus 23:20 says. I am going to send an angel before you to protect you on the way and bring you to the place I have prepared. I will be an enemy to your enemies and a foe to your foes. I will wipe them out. I will cause the people ahead of you to feel terror, and I will throw into confusion all of the nations that come to you. I will make your enemies turn your back on you and retreat. God was calling the Israelites here to accept their responsibility and to fight the good fight serving the Lord. But he wanted them to remember that they weren't fighting alone. God calls them to join the fight, but he reminded them as they were fighting that he is fighting for them. For the Israelites and for us today, our comfort, our confidence isn't in our strength. Their ultimate hope was in the angel, Jesus Christ. And the same thing goes for you and me as Christians. As you fight the good fight against temptation, against discouragement, against anxiety, oppression, as you fight the good fight, remember that you are not alone. The Lord fights for you. So, when the battle feels overwhelming, when you feel discouraged or ashamed, remember the Lord is fighting for you. And when you get stuck on the battlefield and you fall down, and metaphorically you're hurting and you're wounded on the battlefield, and you feel tempted to give up, remember that there is someone so much stronger than you, and he doesn't grow weary, he doesn't grow tired, and he will not give in or give up. And in his time, he will pick you up, dust you off, heal your wounds, give you back the sword, and say, "My child, let's continue the fight together." Work with God as God works in you. Fight with God. Fight the fight, the good fight that God is fighting. Fight with him as God fights for you. Be willing to do the hard things for God. Be willing to give up things and to make sacrifices. Be willing to be uncomfortable, to lose things that might otherwise you enjoy because God is calling you to be different. Fight the good fight because God fights for you. Family, as we prepare for the Lord's table, it's a great way to close it because in this Lord's table, we see the battle that Jesus fought on our behalf. Sometimes if you watch movie battles, you'll see kind of this grand epic battle fighting where all the soldiers are fighting and you have to scroll out to see all of the vast armies fighting. But then oftentimes what will happen in these epic movies is it'll zoom in on one key battle that's taking place in the midst of the grand battle, right? Maybe you've got the leader of one army against the leader of the other army. And while there are battles raging everywhere, it's this one key battle that determines the outcome. That's where we are with Jesus. You and I have our battles to fight. Your battle's a little different than mine, but it's a battle to fight. But at the end of the day, our hope isn't and how victorious we are, our hope is, and how victorious Christ was for us. And that's why he went to the cross. Because the punishment that we deserve, he was willing in his grace and generosity and love to take upon himself. So he gathered his disciples together, and he broke the bread, and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you." And he took the cup, he said, "This is my blood of the covenant poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink from it, all of you." And Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that as often as we do this in remembrance of Jesus. We are remembering Jesus' epic battle against Satan and against sin on our behalf. And because he won the battle, he was broken on the cross. We have hope. And we know that we too will be victorious in him. This is a time where Christians come and they experience Jesus in a special way as he is present in the Lord's Supper. And so in a moment, I'm going to invite you to come forward and take the elements, both elements contained in one package. You take this, return to your seats. Once everyone has had a chance to come up, then we'll partake together. We'll eat the elements together. As you come, know this, if you're coming in faith, then not only are you remembering what Jesus has done, but you are spiritually experiencing Jesus for you. In a special way, he is present in this meal. So in your spirit, you can be nurtured. Just like food nurtures our body and fills us up and strengthens us, so the sacrament of the Lord's Supper spiritually nourishes us, spiritually fills us up, so that we can go keep fighting the battle that God's called us to. This is a time of healing and restoration and feeling and strengthening for you. Now, if you're here and you're at a place on your spiritual journey where you wouldn't identify as a Christian, you're not willing to say or able to say in good conscience that I believe I'm a sinner and I believe Jesus is my Savior, then we want you to know that you are more than welcome here. We're so glad that you're here. We always have people at different places on their spiritual journey. But I also want you to say that by coming forward, you're saying, I believe. And so don't hesitate, if you aren't a Christian, just to stay in your seat and listen to the music. And of course, we'd love to talk to you more about our faith after the service. Let me pray. Father, thank you for your love and mercy. Would you fill us as we come to you in the Lord's Supper? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come as you're ready.
Thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased, and I'm never alone. Good Father, it's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. Oh, I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, because you know just what we need before we say a word. You're good, good Father, it's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. It's who I am.
Jesus took the bread and he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body. Let's eat together. And then he took the cup. This is my blood of the covenant, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink from it, all of you. Heavenly Father, would you fill us up by your grace and mercy, through the blood of Jesus Christ? Would you strengthen us as we seek to follow your call, to accept the responsibilities that you give us, as well as the blessings, to accept the hard as well as the good, as we fight this good fight of the faith? Thank you that you fight with us. You fight for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. In this life where we're still fighting the battle, there is trouble sometimes, and we accept the trouble along with the good. But again, don't forget this. Trouble will not last always because of who God is and what he's doing. Let's stand and sing our closing song, Trouble Won't Last Always. I'm so glad.
Trouble don't last always. I'm so glad. Hey, trouble don't last always. but he's on time.
On time.
In time of trouble, I found him to be a friend of mine. Of mine. When storm clouds rise in your life, I know he'll be there. Yes, he will be there. Help you to bear,
to bear.
I'm so glad. Come on, put your hands together. If you know trouble don't last, trouble don't last always. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Hey, yes, I am. Trouble don't last always. Don't last always. Let me do that verse again. Listen. He may not come when you want him, but he's on time,
on time.
In time of trouble, I found him to be a friend of mine, of mine. When storm clouds rise in your life, I know the Lord, he'll be there. Yes, he will be there. Every one of your burdens, I know the Lord will help you to bear, to bear. I'm so glad. Hey, trouble don't last always.
Trouble don't last always.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Hey, yes, I am. Trouble don't last always.
Trouble don't last always.
Weeping may, weeping may endure for night. Keep the faith, it will be all right. Weeping may endure for night. Keep the faith, it will be all right. Trouble don't last always. Say, I'm so glad. Yes, I am. Trouble don't last always.
Trouble don't last always.
One more time. I'm so
glad.
Yes, I am. Trouble don't last.
Trouble don't last always.
Trouble don't last always.
Trouble don't last always.
Amen. Amen. And that gives us courage for the fight. We're confident that trouble won't last always. And while it does, we have someone who's fighting with us. So hear God's word of benediction to you from 2 Peter 1:3. So I'm gonna give you this benediction, and then I want to give one last invitation for folks to come to the Explore class. So as soon as I give the benediction, let me say one more word, and then we can go. Here's the benediction, God's final word of blessing. His divine power has given us everything required for the life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. You hear that, family? You have everything you need already in the Holy Spirit for the life and godliness that he's called you to. Amen. Amen. And one last invitation for anyone who would like to know more about West Charlotte Church, getting connected, potentially becoming a member and learning about that process. We have an Explore class right after the service right now in the sanctuary. We have meal provided. We have childcare provided. Come and join us there. And for everyone else, God bless you. Go in peace, and we'll see you next week.